Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
It's still one of our favorite Bible stories, when heaven spoke through Balaam's donkey. And we remind ourselves, if God could speak through a donkey, can't he speak through his highest creation? He can. He not only can speak through you, he can pray through you. I want to tell you today the amazing story of John G. Lake. He was this towering figure following the Azusa Street Revival. He held a lucrative position with an insurance company, but left it to follow wholly after the Lord. He received the baptism of the Spirit at the Azusa Street Revival. His ministry was marked with prayerfulness and remarkable divine demonstrations. Lake once told the story of an angel who appeared to him while he read the book of Acts. Lake said the angel pointed to him each time the Spirit of God was poured out in the early church, and each outpouring was preceded by a season of seeking the face of God. The angel then told Lake, "This is Pentecost, as God gave it through the heart of Jesus. Strive for this, contend for this, teach people to pray for this and this alone will meet the necessity of the human heart, and this alone will have the power to overcome the forces of darkness." When the angel left Lake, he said, "Pray, pray, pray. Teach the people to pray." Prayer and prayer alone, much prayer, persistent prayer, is the door of entrance into the heart of God. Subjective, you may say, not possible, fanciful, pipe dream, fantasy, made up. Yes, that's how we sometimes view such experiences. Yet who can doubt the truthfulness of those words? Pray, pray, pray. Persistent prayer is the door of entrance into the heart of God. Hello, my name is Ken Gurley, and all this week on Daily Devotion, we're talking about assaulting the gates of heaven in the form of breakthrough prayer. We are all familiar with Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers of our country, a brilliant man. One day, he tried to retell the story of Jesus. You see, this founding father believed that Jesus should only be human and not divine. So he took the Gospels and simply cut out everything he didn't believe about Jesus. In Jefferson's Bible, gone are the Lord's miracles, gone is the resurrection, gone is his deity. What's left is his words, his kindness. But that's not only who Jesus was. When Jesus prayed, he assumed the role of the great and heavenly high priest. When Jesus prayed, we see a man praying, but we also see the divine praying. Isn't that what Jesus told Peter? "Satan has asked permission to sift you as wheat, just like Job of old. Satan has singled you out, Simon Peter, for special torment. But Simon, listen to me. I have prayed for you." That's what Jesus said. What did he pray for the chief apostle? That his faith failed not. It's interesting. We struggle to persevere through the testing of our faith, and we struggle to persevere in prayer. The flesh wants to give up on both of these, but Jesus said, "Don't forget, I'm praying for you, that your faith holds up to the test." Have you ever noticed? I have. When something or someone is dear to you, close to you, means the world to you, that you can't find the words to say in prayer. When I got the news a while back that my little sister had perished in a car accident, I was walking into a meeting and all I could say was, "Oh, Lord, Jesus, oh, God." No eloquence, no memorized prayer, no rote prayer written by someone years back, no psalm, no prose, just, "Oh, God, Jesus, Jesus, Lord, Jesus." The greater the distance we are from someone or something, the easier it seems to pray. As the psalmist said in the 97th Psalm, "Cloud and darkness are around your throne." When we really care, when the need is overwhelming, when the situation grows too complex for words, we're reduced to these phrases, O God, Lord, Jesus. To me, and listen carefully, these are some of the most powerful prayers you and I can pray. Because we don't rely on the mind. It's a sigh, it's a groan from our heart. A true, heartfelt prayer consisting of a word or even just a few words far outweigh lengthy, eloquent prayers. Oh, yes, they do. When your back is to the wall and you don't know what to say and you sigh, it's in that sigh that something divine takes place. When Jesus stood at Lazarus' tomb, the Bible says he groaned. Everyone around him said Jesus sure loved his friend. What they didn't perceive is that groan, that sigh, that exclamation from the heart was the purest form of prayer. It was a cry. And in our Lord's case, God prayed. Later, Jesus said, Father, thank you for hearing my prayer, and you'll search in vain for any other prayer. Jesus prayed for Lazarus. Then that groan, that sigh, it was that groan that lifted Lazarus from the dead. It was a prayer that shook hell, and the grave had to let go. That sigh, the, oh, God, Jesus, Jesus kind of prayer. We are nearer to God when we are overwhelmed. And our minds are void of multi-syllable words, and we can't connect words together to form a sentence. And we sigh and we groan, and maybe we get the words out, oh God, Lord, oh God. Something happens in such moments. We connect to something beyond ourselves, a power beyond our capabilities, beyond the impossible, unbearable situation. We actually lay hold on the throne of heaven. When, as Paul said, we are overwhelmed by excessive sorrow, when life has dealt us a difficult blow, and all that comes from our lips is a word or two, a sigh or a groan, you can envision it as you like, but what I sense is that this is when God shows up, and this is when God shows out. This is when the Lord says, here, you can't find the words. Let the living word provide them. Let the one who moved on holy men of old to write the word of God, let him step in here. Let him give you the words. I hear Jesus saying, let me pray for you. Let me stand in the gap with you. Let me be your heavenly high priest. Let me intercede for you. The more it means to you, the less you know how to pray. Oh, I can pray for people in the distant land. The words come easy. I can pray for individuals I hardly know, the words flow. But when it's close, when you see the pain and feel the pain, then you need a helper. You need a comforter. You need Christ in you, the hope of glory. You need God praying through you. It's the most favorite verse in Romans 8. We love to quote verse 28, all things work together. But do you know what the preceding two verses say? Well, they say there are times that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know how we should pray, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I looked at various translations of that phrase, groaning that cannot be uttered, and here are some of the other translations. Groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Groanings too deep for words. Inexpressible groanings. Unspoken groanings, groans that words cannot express, yearnings and longings that find no vocabulary. But when we can't find the words, the one who is the word shows up. And the verse before Romans 8:28 says, the Spirit within us searches our heart and makes intercession according to the will of God. When we don't know how to pray, when our words are reduced to monosyllabic groans and sighs, the Spirit takes over, and God prays. I think it's helpful to know that's the prelude to Romans 8:28, that God praying through us leads to Him working all things together for good. Do you get that? When we offer our simple prayers, God, Jesus, oh Lord, help, I need you. God's Spirit within us is activated, takes our sighs, our cries, our groanings, and shapes them into perfect prayer, and sends them on angels' wings into another world. We may just say, Jesus, But when that word enters the other world, it's a divine masterpiece shaped by the one who prays through us. Martha Munizzi wrote that song, "When you don't know what else to pray, when you don't know what else to say, say the name Jesus, Jesus." For in that prayer, in that single articulated proper noun, is found all of the power in heaven and earth. I've read about writer's block when a writer can't go forward. I've never experienced that. I think I haven't because I learned something in prayer. If my heart is full enough, my mouth will speak. If my heart is full enough, words will flow. Yes, I know we can pray the scriptures when we don't know what to pray. I know we can pray those great hymns, and we can pray through journaling and pray the Lord's Prayer and so forth. Yet when your heart is full and your strength is gone, and you don't know how to put one foot in front of another, a sigh takes on the eloquence of Shakespeare. A groan becomes the genius of Michelangelo. Just a word, Jesus, becomes a thesaurus of theology. Say the name. Say the name. Sigh, groan in your spirit. The passing of time brings our knowledge for the need of prayer. Statistically, that's shown time and again. The older a person becomes, the more they pray. We pray more because we've seen more. We've experienced more. And we know that there are too many situations where God and God alone must show up. He's the answer we seek. We need the Lord to show up. We need Him to send help. We need the provisions of heaven. When you don't know how to pray, say the name. You're inviting God then to pray through you. J.I. Packer once said, "The prayer of a Christian is not an attempt to force God's hand, but a humble acknowledgement of helplessness and dependence." When we acknowledge that, "God, we need you," God shows up. When we don't know what to say, and He prays through us, we find the powerful lesson that all of us need to learn in prayer. We need to embrace it and claim it, that it belongs to us. To sigh and cry in His name in the midst of a trial. To simply acknowledge our need of help, our need of Jesus. It invites Him to pray through us. So as that angel purportedly told John G. Lake, pray, pray, pray. Your life, the life of those you care about, your church, your family, the lives of many people in your community who need God, depend upon your prayer. Sigh, cry, groan, and God will pray through you. What do you have to pray about today? What is the most heart-wrenching and difficult thing facing you? What seemingly insurmountable mountain is standing before you? What has humbled you? What has brought you to your face and to your knees? That's what God wants to use to change and shape you. "I have prayed for you," the Lord said, "that your faith fail not." The prodigals must come home. The families must be saved. The lost must be gathered. A new life must be formed. The change you've been seeking should happen. And how's it going to happen? When we call on the name of the Lord, and we permit Him to pray through us, and He works all things together for good.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.